Let's talk about being prepared. Friends, are widespread food shortages next? It looks like it. At any moment, it feels like it's going to hit the fan. Are you ready? Do you have at least 3 months worth of food stocked up? If not, go to preparewithx22.com. You'll find new, lower prices from My Patriot Supply. Plus, save $200 on a 3-month emergency food kit and get free shipping. This kit gives you breakfast, lunches, dinners, drinks, and snacks. Enough food for one person for 3 solid months. It provides 2,000 calories a day to keep you well fed. Save $200 per kit when you stock up now. My Patriot Supply is on your side. They're charging less to help families more. Make sure to get one kit per person so you don't run out. Go to preparewithx22.com right now and save $200 per kit. Your kits will ship fast and free. With the world on the brink of chaos, don't take chances. Go to preparewithx22.com. That is preparewithx22.com. Hi, and welcome to the X22 Report Spotlight. Today we have a returning guest, Kash Patel. Kash has come out with numerous books, but his latest book is called Government Gangsters. You can find all his work on fightwithkash.com. And I am very happy to have Kash back on the X22 Report Spotlight. Kash, welcome back to the Spotlight.
Thanks so much for having me back on the Spotlight. Appreciate it. Your show is crushing it. I go all over the country, and I can't tell you how many people keep coming up to me like, X22 is where I get my news. I'm like, yeah, that guy knows what he's doing.
Oh, thank you very much. And I just want to say with your new book, Government Gangsters, and I mean, well, let me ask you, why did you decide to come out with Government Gangsters? And I just want to say the timing is absolutely unbelievably perfect because of what we're seeing right now. So why did you decide to come out with Government Gangsters?
After 16 years and serving in every branch of government, which is kind of rare for people, I served in the legislative, the executive, and even the judiciary for a little bit. I learned that for the most part of my career, people sign up because they want to serve and accomplish the mission to safeguard the American people and do the work of the American people. But later on, when I got to DOJ, I saw that the internal accountability was completely lacking at DOJ and FBI leadership. And it just dawned on me that that's unacceptable. So I, you know, fast forward the last 6 years and what we've been through, Russiagate, Jan 6th, Ukraine, document gate, whatever, impeachment one, impeachment two. I just thought it was a time to put everything together in one place. And I know people talk about the deep state, and I hate that term and I love that term because I hate it because it actually exists. And I love it because it's an easy way to encapsulate what we're fighting. And government gangsters are the deep state. They are the people who sit atop these agencies and departments that are supposed to serve us, DOD, NSA, CIA, FBI, et cetera, whose leadership positions have been filled by these hacks who only care about their own egos and advancing their name in the fake news mafia. So we launched, well, we haven't launched it yet. The funny thing is Government Gangsters, which is at fightwithkash.com or governmentgangsters.com. Most people don't know, if you work in government and you put out a book, you have to submit the manuscript to the government so they can approve it before it's released. So even though my book's done and awaiting literally print, they are holding my manuscript hostage because I name every government gangster by name, their corrupt activities, I define them, and more importantly, I tell America how we resolve each and every agency's problems and how we remove these government gangsters and restore these agencies and departments to serve the American people. And I just don't think they want any of that out there. But don't worry, we're going to fight them. It's on pre-sale right now, so we're selling it. I'll take them to federal court if need be, but we're going to print this thing.
And I really appreciate you putting this out there because I think the American people are starting to realize that there are government gangsters. I mean, you call them Watermelon Head. It's Adam Schiff. And I think people are starting to see this, and especially what just happened, because they were investigating President Trump for Russia collusion. And what's very interesting, it seems like they always project their crimes onto Trump. And we just had an FBI agent, McGonigal, where he was indicted for Russian collusion. And he was head of the task force looking into Trump for Russian collusion. I mean, what do you make of this?
Tragically, I'm not surprised. For America, I'm just gutted that this has happened yet again. But it's even worse. This guy McGonigal, look, for my federal prosecutor days doing national security cases, he wasn't just some random FBI root. He was the head of the counterintelligence unit for the largest FBI field office in the world. in New York working the most important counterintelligence matters. Do you know who his sidekick was? Peter Strzok. You can't make this stuff up.
Wow.
These guys ran Russiagate together. And he was charged with examining Carter Page and adjudicating the decisions surrounding whether or not Carter Page was a Russian asset, which we know is a total farce, which is what we proved during the Russiagate investigation. So these guys teamed up way back when, and only now we're learning about it. My bigger problem is, look at the guy that's connected to everybody related to this, Oleg Deripaska. Your audience knows this guy's name well. Oleg Deripaska is the Russian aluminum magnate or something like that. He's like the third richest guy in Russia, which is means he's worth like $7 billion. And he goes out and pays Christopher Steele, the dossier guy back then, to go in there and say, hey, I need this dossier. The FBI is going to use it. And oh, by the way, a whole other story. We still don't know if Oleg Deripaska is a confidential human source for the FBI, another corruption cover-up network. But going back to his connection to Steele, while he's doing that, we now learn Deripaska is courting the America's number one counterintelligence agent, this guy McGonigal, and then paid him $250,000 to turn on his country. This is the most scandalous criminal activity in modern American history, and it keeps getting worse. And it always ties back to the same people. And it's what you led the show off with. Remember, you know, they were like, Trump's a Russian asset, Cash is a Russian asset, Nunes is a Russian asset. They always project onto us what they are actually doing themselves. And when they get caught, they bury the headline. It's hilarious. CNN's headline was, a man pleads not guilty, and I'm not making this up, a man pleads not guilty to charges of working with the Russian government, who used to be a former FBI employee. That was their headline. I mean, that's their way of diluting it, because they made a living off reporting off Adam Schiff's lies and their lies for so long. So I think we're going to see, as this case gets to court and starts unraveling and the information starts coming out, we are going to see a massive wave of information to show how deep this this conspiracy was. And here's another thing. We figured it out during our Russiagate investigation. Do you know who else Oleg Deripaska has a tie to?
Who?
Warner. Mark Warner.
Oh, wow.
And we are going to put out on fightwithcash.com later the text messages. That's right. In 2017 and 18, Mark Warner was texting Oleg Deripaska's attorney directly to try to get in touch with Deripaska and confirm the Steele reporting and get other information. Why was Mark Warner doing that? When we found out that he was doing that, the Senate Intel Committee, Mark Warner, and remember that guy, that corrupt stock trader Burr, came out with a statement saying, nothing to see here. We know all about these text messages. There's no there there, to borrow from Joe Biden. Well, how about we ask that question again? Why was one of the top intelligence members of the United States Congress, Mark Warner, communicating with a known criminally sanctioned Russian tycoon in Oleg Deripaska about Christopher Steele? Those answers to that question have never been provided. And it raises new doubt as to the integrity of anything the Senate Intelligence Committee did when it came to Russiagate, except trying to cover it up, unlike what we did on the House side of things. And remember, the Senate Intel Committee, they're the guys that had their chief operator leak classified information and sleep with a media reporter. That guy got caught and convicted for doing that during Russiagate. And it's another one of those things that Burr and Warner buried under the rug that barely got any coverage. Could you imagine if me, Cash Patel, as Devin Nunes' his chief investigator, leaked classified information and slept with the media? We wouldn't be having this conversation. Well, we might be, but I'd be in a federal penitentiary.
Right.
I mean, this is the two-tier system of justice that's out there, and we are only beginning to chisel away at it. And we have to hammer on this stuff, and we have to ask why a sitting United States senator wanted to get in bed with a criminally sanctioned Russian tycoon who was advancing a criminal conspiracy in the United States of America. And did the FBI know about it, and were they paying this guy money to advance that conspiracy?
Doesn't this link into what Durham is doing now? Because doesn't this give him ammunition? Because, I mean, really think about it. Durham, he showed during the Danchenko trial that the FBI used a fake dossier. They knew it was fake. They knew it was uncooperated. Now we have this FBI agent, and it seems like it's always revolving around the FBI. This FBI agent was colluding with Russia. doesn't this give him ammunition?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It totally does. And that's a great point that I actually never thought of. Why did Durham bring this prosecution? Yeah. You know, the indictment was unsealed this week, but the criminality goes back to 2017. That was Durham's mandate. That's a great point that I actually never thought of. You would think John Durham would be the one bringing this indictment. Maybe John Durham's the one who unearthed this information and then they handed it off because no one knows the status of what John Durham is doing. But you're right. This is entirely within his wheelhouse because it talks about the FBI's involvement in the Russiagate corruption conspiracy and its cover up. So, wow, I never thought of that. And I know, and I'm thinking one of the many reasons people watch your show is because you ask these great questions that no one ever brings up. So I'm going to have to give that one some more thought and flesh it out in my brain before I expound on it some more. But you're right. I really want to know what John Durham's doing with this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, because I thought it was kind of strange that he didn't bring this out, just like you said, and it was coming out. But I think maybe, like you said, maybe this was done on purpose to give him ammunition later. I mean, I don't know. I find it very interesting. But yeah. I wanted to also ask you, since we're talking about government gangsters and we're starting to actually flesh them all out, Adam, we have Representative Swalwell and Adam Schiff. They weren't allowed on the Intelligence Committee, and now they're panicking because they don't have that information. Do you think they're blind right now? They can't get the information? I mean, are they panicking right now?
Well, they've always been blind because it's not like they actually read the intelligence that came in back then. And you're being too nice. I don't call them that. I call them Fang Fang and Watermelon Head.
There you go.
And the reason that they're still blind is because they've always been blind. They didn't care what the intelligence report said. They had access to all the documents we had access to when we were running Russiagate. And if they cared about the truth, they would have read those documents and put that information out. They cared about advancing this fake fictional narrative, this conspiracy that McGonagall now we know is involved with, and Strzok and Page and Comey and McCabe and so many of Jaffe and Fusion GPS and Perkins Coie and Sussman. And the list goes on and on about government gangsters that were involved in the largest criminal conspiracy ever perpetrated by the FBI and DOJ. You know, Schiff and Watermelon Head and Fang Fang don't care. But I do believe, and we got to pause for a second and, you know, whether you like Kevin McCarthy or hate him, you got to congratulate him for following through on his word. This is one of the biggest promises to people like us who have a heavy America First agenda and have a strong dislike, not personally for Fang Fang and Watermelon Head, but we have a professional dislike because they disserve the American people by putting out disinformation knowingly, knowing it to be false and misleading people for so many years. So he did that. So I'm happy he did that. It encourages me to believe he's going to continue to do other things. Now, what they are going to say is they've been sidelined politically. And yes, they don't have the prestigious position on the Intel Committee. So they will pretty much fall off the ranks of important people from the radical left in the Democratic Party. So for them, it's definitely a wound, but it's something they will complain about. But I don't think it's going to stop them from lying. What it will stop them from doing is saying, I have this report in my hand about confidential human source information. It's classified. It shows Donald Trump's Russian asset. I just can't show you America yet.
Right.
They never did because they never had it, but they held up those envelopes and made those statements. And of course, Adam Schiff read into the record false conversations during the Russiagate impeachment, Russiagate testimony, during the impeachment testimony and everything else. So now he doesn't have that pedestal, that perch. In the United States Congress. And the one thing I'm actually calling for the release of are the Fang Fang tapes. Remember what Kevin McCarthy said maybe a week or two ago? He said, if you got the brief that I got from the FBI about Swalwell, you wouldn't want him anywhere near classified intelligence. Well, I never got that brief. I want to know what was in that brief. I want to know what sort of sexually complicit, compromising information a sitting United States congressman on the House Intelligence Committee is in possession of by the FBI. And the American public should be made known that information. So hopefully Kevin McCarthy comes through and puts out what I call the Fang Fang tapes, because America deserves to know if one of the senior most intelligence officials in the United States of America was fully compromised by the CCP because he decided to go out there and sleep with one of their top agents. And then did he give them anything? You know, Swalwell's out there running around saying, oh, the FBI cleared me, as if getting cleared by this FBI is a badge of honor. it almost leads me to believe that he's actually guilty of something and they're part of another cover-up. And I think this Congress needs to subpoena those records and put them out for the American public. And we cannot allow them to say, oh, you're going to harm national security, just like they told us in Russiagate, just like they told us in Ukraine impeachment, just like they told us in Mar-a-Lago gate and anything else. We always do it in a way that doesn't harm any national security and provides the actual constitutional oversight that only this Congress can give us, because we can't expect it from the DOJ and FBI.
I just want to go back with McCarthy right now. I think people are seeing a different side of him right now. Yeah. I think people were worried, and now they're seeing a different side, and actually Trump is right again, who he endorsed. So I think people are starting to realize that just follow his lead. I think he knows what he's doing here by endorsing certain people. And you're starting, I think a lot of people now are starting to see a different side of Kevin McCarthy. And I think this is going to benefit all of us. Let's talk about being prepared. Friends, are widespread food shortages next? It looks like it. At any moment, it feels like it's going to hit the fan. Are you ready? Do you have at least 3 months worth of food stocked up? If not, go to preparewithx22.com. You'll find new lower prices from My Patriot Supply. Plus, save $200 on a 3-month emergency food kit and get free shipping. This kit gives you breakfast, lunches, dinners, drinks, and snacks. Enough food for one person for 3 solid months. It provides 2,000 calories a day to keep you well fed. Save $200 per kit when you stock up now. My Patriot Supply is on your side. They're charging less to help families more. Make sure to get one kit per person so you don't run out. Go to preparewithx22.com right now and save $200 per kit. Your kits will ship fast and free. With the world on the brink of chaos, don't take chances. Go to preparewithx22.com. That is preparewithx22.com. But if he did receive a brief on Swalwell with whatever he did, his treasonous acts, should he even be serving as House of Representative? I mean, shouldn't he be removed or taken out right now?
I mean, if from my personal perspective, yes. But I don't know that there's a mechanism to jettison a sitting House member. Even here's the kicker, and I'm not the House, you know, professional when it comes to the rules and all that. But I think you can be convicted of a felony and still serve in the House of Representatives while being convicted of a felony. Wow. The only way you get out of the House of Representatives is if you resign. Now, you can build a chorus for public shaming, embarrassment, show that he's a criminal, show that he conducted himself illegally, unlawfully, unethically, and improperly, and force him to resign and censure him on the House floor and reprimand him like he's done in being removed from committees. But I don't think anyone in Congress has the power to terminate his tenure.
Now, I want to talk about one of the biggest gangsters right now, and that's Biden. because we know, like, he's, you know, he gets 10% of the, you know, of everything that Hunter does. Now, what's very interesting about this whole story about the classified documents is that they found classified documents. And of course, you know, they're trying to play this off and everything like that. The question I have for you is, why didn't Obama just come out and say, listen, I declassified it, I gave it to Joe Biden, and that would just get him off the hook? Why wouldn't Obama just come out?
Because one, I'm going to tell your audience this right now, it's going to happen. We're going to hear in the coming weeks, classified documents found in Obama's library or warehouse or whatever, because they're all searching right now. Pence searching, Obama searching, everybody's searching. Because now this has become the biggest mishandling of classified information by multiple people in high-level government positions. So they're all looking. And the other reason, to answer your question directly, though, Obama wants nothing to do with this. Obama's probably back there, in my opinion, orchestrating the kneecapping and removal of Joe Biden so somebody else can run, because they know, the Democrats know, that if they run Joe Biden again, that he cannot beat a Donald Trump. And on a factual level, the amount of documents they found may even precede Joe Biden's vice presidency, because what's been reported out there is that some of the documents they found that are classified and have been in the wild for 20 years date back to when he was a United States senator. So Obama may have been able to have the authority to declassify all that, but I don't think he's going to come out and just give wave a magic wand and said, oh, Joe took these boxes home and I declassified everything that he's going to tell you about for years to come. I think we're going to find out multiple more locations about multiple more documents and boxes being found in Joe Biden's possession. And what no one's talking about is we keep letting the media stage the narrative to diminish the situation by saying, oh, 2 sets of documents were found, 6 sets of documents were found, that as if to say the number is so small. That is so misleading. As the former like intel guy and the deputy director of national intelligence, one set of documents could be 1,000 pages. It's a set. Mm. They haven't told us the number of pages on there. And we haven't even gotten to Hunter Biden's letter that he used to barter money out of the Ukraine and the CCP that was just reported on. So it's not like we don't have any information to show that classified information was used for personal gain. We now have that for sure. So what we don't have is the number of pages. And you know this is important because remember that fake photo they staged at Mar-a-Lago where yeah. they strewn all the pages on the floor and cover mm-hmm. sheets and were like, look at all the documents. And we come to learn that it was cover sheets and those aren't classified in and of themselves. And we don't know what's underneath them. And we still know that that investigation is ongoing. But where are the pictures of Joe Biden's six different locations? You know, his Lucky Cheerio cereal box where he stuffed classified information about the Ukraine and the CCP. Where are all these photos? It's this two-tier system of justice by all of these government gangsters. I agree Joe Biden sits at the top. In my opinion, he's not the worst. In my opinion, that goes to Chris Wray, Rod Rosenstein, and Merrick Garland, and the new special counsel, Robert Hur. But you see the disparate treatment, the difference in how these cases are being handled. And I think that's our win. You know, I was just out there on the road this week talking to a live audience in my home of Long Island. And I said, look, our target is not Joe Biden. If you support Donald Trump and America First agenda, our target has to be the government gangsters and the deep state, the administrative state. That's what we need to take on to show everyday Americans that just because you vote a certain way, you can be treated differently by the FBI, not because you're a criminal, but because they will make you into one because they want to defeat the positions that you stand for. And that is the very essence of the destruction of justice, not its upholding.
So what do you think the documents are that Biden was keeping? Do you think this has to do with Hunter and his business dealings or?
I do think that. And I think that, well, let me just rewind the tape a little bit. I don't believe for a single second that the chief librarians at NARA are the ones that instigated the most consequential classified document investigation in U.S. history. I don't believe that for a second. Are we to believe that some librarian in November of 2022, a week before the election, was like, oh my God, I was checking the 1 million documents and I noticed Joe Biden hadn't returned this overdue library book? That's not how it works. This case is the intersection of classified intelligence and federal law enforcement. That's what I used to do. I think what we're going to see happen is that this investigation began because some good cops at the FBI that still exist found material on Hunter Biden's laptop a year plus ago. And they found material related to the Ukraine and the CCP and Russia, like this letter that just broke. And Hunter Biden had to pull that classified information that's in that letter from somewhere. So what happens if you're an investigator? What happens if you're a good prosecutor and investigator? You basically go out and issue search warrants across the board for every location the targets have ever lived in or touched, and for every person that ever went through there to manhunt these documents. Because if we're to believe the Justice Department's position on Donald Trump's documentation, that these national security information is so severe, it must be manhunted to the ends of the earth, then that's what they should be doing to Joe Biden. But I don't see the subpoenas. I don't see the raids. I don't see the SWAT teams. I see a criminal target in Joe Biden and Hunter being allowed to define to the Department of Justice how this investigation is going, meaning they are allowed to go to the crime scenes before the cops.
Yeah.
They go there with their personal lawyers and say, we'll take a look. And if we find anything, we'll let you know. Me, as a former public defender, on a side note, I could never in my wildest dreams tell a federal prosecutor when I was defending a murderer or a rapist or a bank robber or a fraudster, hey, I'm going to go to the crime scene and I'll collect some evidence. And if I think it's relevant to my client's prosecution, I'll give it to you. I mean, that's literally what these guys are saying. So I think that we will find out through this new subcommittee on the weaponization of government when they subpoena these documents that the investigation began, and we need the origination document. We got to subpoena that like we did in Russiagate. That began because it spawned from Hunter Biden's criminal conduct and possibly Joe Biden's. And then you got to ask, why did they lie to the American people yet again? Why did they rig yet another election in the United States of America? And it's the same thing from Russiagate, from Hunter Biden's laptop to the last go round in Congress. They want to make sure that our voices, our America First agenda, and President Trump's voice is totally suppressed. And we now know that people would have changed their voting process had they had the truth about Hunter Biden's laptop, had they had the truth about the origins of this investigation. That's going to be the next one that we hear about. And what it's going to do, what these guys are doing, is they are participating in the cover-up. And the cover-up is always worse than the crime. And yeah, they're trying to reverse engineer Joe Biden into innocence. And as long as we have savvy investigators on Capitol Hill and congressmen like Jim Jordan and Matt Gaetz and company and Scott Perry and all those guys fighting to get these documents out, we are going to find out what we found out in Russiagate, that our government, yet again, used the law enforcement and intelligence apparatus to weaponize its targets and based on political orientation, and to make sure that they, the government, interfered in the democratic process in electing our leadership. And that, to me, is the crime of the century.
No, it really is. And I think people are seeing the two-tiered justice system right now, and they're seeing how both cases are being handled. And I just want to mention something that's very important. The president has the ability to declassify. The vice president does not. And I think this is very, it doesn't matter if you have one document, two documents, three documents, or items, or how many, you know, documents are within those items. I think that's what's being left out with the fake news, is that he doesn't have the ability to do this. He doesn't have the ability to declassify.
It's not even just that. And you've made a great point. You and I have talked about it on your show. The only person on earth who has unilateral declassification authority is the president of the United States of America.
Right.
If they don't want it to stay that way, then Congress needs to change the law. But that's the law right now. And that's not a gray area. It's black and white. What the president also has an advantage on is the Presidential Records Act, which a lot of people aren't talking about, but we have talked about the Clinton sock drawer case, where Clinton literally had classified tapes hidden in his sock drawer. But I'll be the first guy to tell you, while that may have been wrong, it was lawful for President Clinton to take them, because the Presidential Records Act allows any sitting president to take with him any property when he leaves the presidency and make it his own. And it's not a crime. And so the Presidential Records Act, guess what, only applies to presidents. It doesn't apply to vice presidents. So what is Joe Biden going to come out and say? Oh, I took these documents yesterday. These protections are in place for a reason, for a president and not a vice president. So when you combine the fact that only the president can declassify, as the regulations and statutes say governing the Directorate of National Intelligence, along with the Presidential Records Act, President Trump is allowed to take these documents and allowed to declassify them, and no vice president has those authorities. And so, again, I think these government gangsters, Chris Wray, Merrick Garland, along with their partners in the media, of course, are trying to build up some sort of fictional legal exoneration, like James Comey did with Hillary Clinton, like by saying, oh, she was reckless. Well, there's no intent requirement in the taking of classified information and its mishandling. The reason the Congress wrote the statute that way is because they felt, and I agree with them, that the taking and mishandling of classified information is such a severe blow to the United States national security that you don't need to intentionally do it. You just need to do it.
Right.
That's the statute. And Joe Biden, when he's out there, I can't believe they're allowing him, this guy, to make statements. But every time he opens his mouth and says, I had no idea, I don't know, there's no there there. I mean, if we had a real prosecution service right now, we don't in this DOJ, but it's a prosecution's dream to have the criminal target go out there and consistently lie about his state of mind when you don't need to prove intent. Man, it's like playing the video at the bank robbery to the jury when the guy's not wearing a ski mask. It's hit, play, convict. But we don't have that right now. And that's what I talk about in The Government Gangsters. My book is this two-tier system of justice. They're treating Biden completely differently versus how they treated Trump. And they will continue to do so. They're treating every January 6th defendant and detainee completely different versus how they treat drug dealers and sexual predators and human traffickers, because they have weaponized and politicized the DOJ and FBI. And that starts at the top leadership level. And I think it only really stays at the top 5%, 10% leadership level. So once you get rid of that, that's one of the things, one of the solutions I talk about in Government Gangsters, is how you solve this. The other thing, as you and I have always talked about, is you got to take their money.
I mean, in the beginning, you mentioned something about Obama, and I just want to read your truth that you put out on Truth Social. You said, When are the corrupt government gangsters going to finally tell us about the classified docs Obama has? So what do you think this all leads up to Obama? Everything that we're seeing right now? What do you mean
by
this?
I think we're going to see that, you know, another disclosure, and someone in the Obama world is going to be like, oh, it was an inadvertent filing and it went over here. But remember, Obama is a former president, so a different set of rules applies. Did he take him as Presidential Records Act? Did he declassify them? There's a whole different analysis that has to be undertaken. But if I were Obama's team right now, I'd be scouring every warehouse in Chicago, every home he now has since they're billionaires around the world, to see what documents they have. Because Pence was smart enough to do it, and Obama's no dummy at the end of the day. Let's not be dismissive. That man's really smart. What I think they're doing, Susan Rice, Team Obama, is they're out there kneecapping Joe Biden, Hunter, just enough so he doesn't run again. So they can install, whether it's Kamala or Newsom or whatever, whoever the next person is, to run, because they know, they're smart enough to know that Joe Biden cannot win the presidency this go around. So I think what you'll see is basically an exoneration in public, like we saw with Hillary Clinton, where she should have been charged but wasn't. And they'll say, oh, we are applying equal justice without fear or favor, as government gangster Merrick Garland came out the other day this week and said, which is a total lie. And we can get into that in a second. But they'll say, oh, we looked at the Trump case. We looked at Pence. We looked at Biden. We looked at Obama. And Joe Biden was not smart to do this. But the insiders will go to him and say, hey, you can't run for president. We are going to give your son a Mickey Mouse charge and plea deal. You can commute his sentence and pardon him. And someone else will run for president. The problem they're going to run into is Joe Biden is so old and senile now and so hard-headed that I think he's just going to come out next week and say, I'm running. And that should be a day that you and I celebrate partially, because that's the day when we go to work on Joe Biden.
I mean, do you think they'll end up taking him out with the 25th Amendment?
No, these guys don't have that in them. They can't do that. And if they did that, they know politically that there wouldn't even be a 2024 election. Whatever Republican was in the driver's seat would walk through the door in 2024. So they're at least, the thing about the Democrats is they're evil, but they stick together and they know the political direction, or the ultimate political win, is staying in power in 2024, especially since we just took the House and we're going to take the Senate in the next cycle. So they know they're on the ropes, and I don't think that would be an act that I don't even think.
So you don't think that Biden would start to break down, his dementia would kick in, won't know what he's doing, and then, you know, that will give him an out?
I mean, I'm saying that given the current state of play. Yeah. If Biden's mental state deteriorates even more, and he, like, visibly, and I mean, worse than it already has,
yeah, I know.
I think it's basically... I agree it disqualifies him from being president now, but like, if he starts having serious health issues and something, then yes, they will remove him and install Kamala Harris, and she'd have to be the one to run. But right now, if it stayed the status quo, it's just not going to be enough, in my opinion, to get us there.
Doesn't this also go back to NARA? Because don't they know where the documents are? I mean, like you said, with like, this isn't like you go to a library, you check out a book. Actually, the library has a better tracking system than NARA. I tell you the truth. I get notices, like when I used to take books out, I get a notice like it's overdue. They knew I had it. I mean, they don't know what's going on? That doesn't make any sense. Or is this completely corrupt?
NARA, having personal experience with NARA myself, is... become another politicized and weaponized institution. I mean, our library, this is how bad it is. The government gangsters are everywhere, including our library. The one library that's supposed to dictate the history of the United States of America and collect it has now been infiltrated by these guys who run around saying, oh, we're apolitical, nothing to see here. But what they are using, the government gangsters, what they're using NARA for, is to execute this disparate treatment of justice. And when you have guys like Merrick Garland and Chris Wray come out this past week and say, we will prosecute without fervor or favor. Without fear or favor. That's exactly what they're doing. They're prosecuting because they are in fear and they need to curry favor to stay in power. And they are saying things like, we are acting on our traditions and principles. That's with another quote from the lovely Merrick Garland, government gangster. these traditions and principles are the very ones that have destroyed the Department of Justice I used to work at. They keep saying these meaningless epithets so that the media will bandy them about and portray these guys as heroes because they're like, wow, look at these words. But when you look under the words and you look at their actions and you look at what the NARA, they've now basically inculcated NARA into doing and allowing a selective investigation to unfold before the world, they are going to get caught in the cover-up. But that can only happen with the weaponization of the government subcommittee. They're the only ones who can subpoena these documents, these emails, these records, and put them out to the American public from DOJ and FBI. If you want to connect the dots from the likes of McGonigal and Strzok to Hunter Biden's laptop, to the Joe Biden document scandal, to whatever's coming next, you have to get the documents of the government gangsters themselves. It's what we learned during Russiagate. The FBI and DOJ are so arrogant under this leadership regime that they write down their own corruption because they think they will never get caught. And what I tell anyone who says, no, you're wrong, go ahead and read the Nunes memo. Go ahead and read anything we did in Russiagate. Everybody said that about us when we were doing that work. And we put out that report based directly and solely on the writings of these government gangsters. And many of them are still in power, namely Chris Wray and now Merrick Garland, and this new special counsel, Rob Hur, is no exception. He was Rod Rosenstein's protege, and we all know what Rod Rosenstein did: agreed to wear a wire on Trump, blocked the release of the FISA documents during our Russiagate investigation. And Rod Rosenstein and Robert Hur, you know what they did? They subpoenaed my personal records in 2017. When I was the chief investigative counsel for then Chairman Nunes of the House Intelligence Committee, they subpoenaed my financials, my credit card, my phone, my emails of a senior member, senior staff in the United States Congress without justification, because you crawl, Rod Rosenstein threatened in January of 18 that he was going to investigate us. Well, that was a lie. He had already begun the investigation because they wanted blackmail on us and Devin Nunes, because we were exposing their corruption. You want to talk about an abuse of power by government gangsters? Look no further than Rod Rosenstein, Chris Wray, and Robert Hur, who's now the new special counsel. And I've called publicly for Jim Jordan. The first subpoenaed witness that should sit before this committee is Robert Hur to expose his corruption. Because the one thing that guy wants to do more than anything is protect his name in the DOJ. And remember, this was the same man that wanted us to never issue the Nunes memo. The same man who has an email that is now up on fightwithcash.com. Robert Hur, when he was the number three lawyer at the Justice Department under Rod Rosenstein, said, we cannot release the Nunes memo. It will harm national security. No, the only thing it will harm is your traditions and your principles, which are destroying our system of justice. And we just got to keep going.
So do you think the House will have the ability to get the information from the Department of Justice? Because I see the Department of Justice pushing back right now, saying, you know, we're looking into it. It's an investigation. So do you think in the end they will get this information?
If they've got the backbone, and I'll tell you why. We used this tool called fencing once during our time in Russiagate, because Paul Ryan, in my opinion, was a completely feckless leader who didn't want the information out there. But you need the permission of the Speaker of the House to do this financial maneuver. And what it is every committee and chairman has the authority to go around and build, you know, imaginary fences around pools of money at agencies and departments. So what we did was we said, hey, you guys are owed this $10 million to build this new building. And I'm not saying take away operational funding. I'm saying take away the niceties. Chris Wray, you're not getting your new 10 Escalade. Merrick Garland, you're not getting your $50,000 desk. Oh, and by the way, we're stopping the money that you were going to spend on your new big building down the street. You put up these fences and then the documents start coming in. When we did that, we got 1,000 pages of documents the next morning, to include the FISAs, the Bruce Orr 302s, the Christopher Steele source sensitive information, to expose all the corruption that went into the Nunes memo. And so this leadership in Congress, and it falls to Kevin McCarthy and Jim Jordan and company, must be willing to take that step. Because once you do, the one thing government gangsters need, like cars need gasoline and we need oxygen, they need the government-funded taxpayer money to continue their corrupt ways. And once you seize it from them, they have nothing to spend. So it can happen. I don't know if it's going to. I sure hope so. And I'm going to keep advocating for it on great shows like yours. But we must hold these government gangsters to account.
Cash, thank you very much for being on the X-22 Report Spotlight. Once again, how can people pre-order your book?
Yeah, so it's on pre-order, governmentgangsters.com or fightwithcash.com. And since your show is so awesome, once this show goes live, we are going to do a 20% off sale for 24 hours if you watch X22. So go to fightwithcash.com or governmentgangsters.com and get your pre-order book. I'm also signing personalized copies, signing messages. We're having a great time. We figured out a way to do all this without Uncle Bezos's help. So go to governmentgangsters.com, order your pre-order. We're going to get this manuscript out. I promise you, we're going to fight for the American people, and we are going to remove these government gangsters from their leadership positions so this government starts working for us again.
Great. I'll put all the links at the bottom of the video. Cash, once again, thank you very much for being on the spotlight. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
You too.